This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
It's always so sad to see a high-profile popular figure fall from grace. One minute they can do no wrong, and we love everything about them. Their personality, their charisma, what they do, what they stand for. The next minute they've lost their flavour and have gone from hero to zero. The tide of human opinion turns so easily. We have such high expectations of our heroes and heroines, don't we? And once they've fallen, they never quite redeem themselves fully in everyone's eyes, even though in time some may actually seek and receive God's mercy and forgiveness. We all have to face the consequences of sin, but in God there is always forgiveness if we're truly sorry. I remember a friend of mine telling me a story about plucking up the courage to go and make his confession to a priest after 20 or so years away from church. When he told the priest how long he'd been away from church, he expected a reprimand. Instead, the priest, after a few moments, whispered, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home."
I've been trying on my own. Been almost done and nearly dying on my own. Alone and never coming to believe. Refusing to receive the gifts you offer to me. To ride the highway in the night means riding blindly like a child into the night, while never wondering why we are drawing breath, refusing to accept the death you suffered for me. When my lock and key mentality was close to tearing down the line from you to me, and I can't see or bend my knee. When I'm full of my grief, thinking only of my own pain and its relief, in a world that's always moving, never still, and I forget the hill you climbed to set me free. When I can't go on, and hope seems gone, I see the tree.
That was Pete Scott singing "Faith, Don't Fail Me Now." Great leaders in the Bible fell from grace. King David did when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He even arranged for her husband to be put to death in the front line of battle so that she could be his. Then there's Samson, who disclosed the secret of God's special gift of strength to a woman named Delilah who betrayed him, causing him to lose his gift for some time. And there was King Solomon, who allowed many foreign wives who worshipped other gods into his household. These leaders never quite recovered the glory of their golden age. Their houses became divided, their lands fell into ruin, they lost the respect of the people. Their salt lost its flavour through their worldliness, adultery and the worship of other gods. Let's listen to a song written by Leonard Cohen and sung by Lucy Thomas, a song called "Hallelujah," which mentions some of the situations these great leaders found themselves in and how they desperately tried to rediscover their soul's cry, "Hallelujah," a word which means simply "praise God."
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. You don't really care for music, do you? goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Kitchen chair, she broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Wasn't that song beautiful? I'm leading all-age worship in our church this morning, and we're studying Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, words which are about salt losing its flavour and light being hidden. And I hope to find a volunteer who will mime from cards some of the ways people can fall from grace, as explained in the second half of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The congregation will have to guess which one it is, and this volunteer will only have 1 minute to mime them all. Murder, explosive temper, hatred of one's enemy, preaching a different gospel, adultery, envy, theft, violence, bad language, telling lies, and disrespecting one's parents. Good luck to this volunteer is what I say. Our gospel reading, though, will be from verses 13 to 16 in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, which says this: "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus said, "but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus' words here were not just aimed at top personalities or leaders, though. These are words for us all. Here's a hymn called Be Thou My Vision, which I once recorded with some wonderful folk singers from the Croxdale Circuit in Durham.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping. Thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. Be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou
Testament times, salt that was gathered in would most likely have had impurities in it, not like our refined salt, depending of course on where it had been found. One historian speaking of the procedure of processing salt at that time suggested that once the salt had been extracted and washed out, the residue, also known as salt, was fit for nothing else but road dust. It didn't have any taste to it. It was of no use, it had no value at all. But pure salt was treasured, and so precious, so much so that in some places, such as Rome, it was salt and not money that was used in commerce and trading. Salt was often given as wages, hence the word salary. Salt had two main uses in the first century, the time of Jesus, and was considered essential to life. Firstly, it was a preservative. Secondly, it was used to bring out the flavour in food. So without salt, certain foods would not have been fit to eat, and meals would have been bland and tasteless. Just like a life without God's love, really. This next song is called Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong, with Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warnes.
Who knows what tomorrow brings? In a world few hearts survive.
All I know is the way I feel. When it's real, I keep it alive. The road is long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb the stairs every day.
Love lifts us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love lifts us up where we belong. Blow.
with their lives looking behind.
All we have is here and now. All our lives are there to find.
The road is long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb a step every day.
Love lifts us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain.
Secondly, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world right now. We mustn't hide our light, we must let it shine. And he, being the light of the world, must shine through us. Don't we just love to stay inside our homes on a cold, wet and windy night, rather than venturing outside in the dark? A priest, whose duty it was each evening to go and pray in his church at the top of the cliff near his vicarage, certainly felt this way one evening. Not everyone in his parish attended evensong, and sometimes he would worship alone. This one stormy night he was seriously tempted to give evensong a miss, as the weather was so bad, but he changed his mind at the last minute, and off he went to light the lights in church and say the office, as was his duty. Far out to sea, though, lost and fearing for their lives, was a local fisherman and his only son. They had lost their bearings in the darkness, and were trying to get their boat safely home, only they couldn't see where they were going in the storm. All of a sudden the boy saw a light on the shore and realised at once it was the light of their local church on the hill, and they turned their boat and headed towards it. Both men were saved from a cold, watery grave. Had the priest not bothered himself that night, two very special people would have lost their lives at sea. When we choose to hide ourselves away in comfort, in safety and security, with our lights beneath a bowl, so to speak, how will those in need get the help they require? Are we giving nourishment to those who are hungry? Do we offer warmth and succour to the homeless? Do we bring hope to the exile and stranger? Do we comfort those who mourn? Make me a channel of your peace as a perfect hymn to think about these very questions. Here it is, sung by Alan Jones.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in me. O Master, grant that I may never speak so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a child. fill of your peace. For when we give, we will ourselves receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we gain eternal life. And in dying that we gain eternal life.
We are called to be like that town on a hill mentioned in the Gospel reading. But have our blackout curtains been pulled down at all? The prophet Amos was forever telling the people to return to God, for they'd lost their way. His words accuse them of oppressing the poor, of practicing injustice, of worshipping idols and turning their backs on God. But we don't worship idols, though, do we? How do we spend most of our time during our waking hours? Let's imagine it being divided up into a pie chart. What do we give our hearts and minds to most? What takes up most of our attention and devotion? This song, inspired by chapter 5 of the Book of Amos, is from my album Called to Serve, and it's called An Ancient Song.
I will tell you a brand new story. I will sing an ancient song. For this people turn against me, do not know their right from wrong. I despise empty worship, cannot stand vain offerings, can't abide the gifts they bring me, close my ears to songs they sing. But let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be found among you, secure and so complacent, look with eyes that cannot see. They are bound with cords of darkness, held in bonds of misery. Turn to me, my captive people, I, your God, can set you free. But let justice roll on freely like a river running clean. Righteousness be.
If we were really honest, might we say, we spend an inordinate amount of time glued to a screen. I have very little memory of my life prior to our television arriving. I was about 5 or 6 at the time when ours arrived. We got it so that my dad and our neighbours could all watch the Newcastle United FA Cup final in 1955. But because of it, we enjoyed wonderful stories, shows and documentaries, all in black and white, all well presented and age appropriate. We lived at a time when time indoors with the television on was limited, and my sister and I played outside. We enjoyed ourselves and made our own entertainment. But today, you know, we live in such a different world where the television, Instagram and TikTok and other images seem to have taken entire minds captive. And I often wonder now if some lives have ever been truly lived at all. Might an addiction to social media be described as a form of idolatry? It is said now that depression, anxiety, catfishing, which is setting a fake identity to deceive someone, bullying, terrorism, and criminal activities are some of the negative sides of social media on our society. But of course, there are so many positives too. What would we do without this kind of technology in our world today? And to those who are lonely or housebound, ill or infirm, social media is a lifesaver. But we need to ask this question: does God play any part in our lives today? So many enticements in our world can make us forget him and take for granted this beautiful world which he created. Our final hymn calls for us to be faithful, to listen to God and seek his will for our lives, and not be put off or daunted. We've been called by God for a purpose. Will we put the gifts he has given us to full use in our lifetime? Will we bring flavour to and seek to preserve the world around us? We come to the close of our programme today, but may I finish with a portion of a prayer written by Cardinal Newman. Let us pray. Please stay with us, Lord, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way that you love best, by shining on those around us. The song we're going to leave you with today is Who Would True Valour See, sung by Maddie Pryor. And so it's goodbye from Andrew Ridgewick.
Bye, everyone.
My technician, and from myself, Sheila Hamill. Bye for now.
No.